It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 477. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. I have 5 voicemails that I'm going to get to after I share some stories in the trenches. And then we're going to get to as much email as I can fit in with time permitting. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Nation Net. Also, you can check out the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the audio, the show notes. It's a great show resource and helps you to get caught up if you're a new listener. That's a great place to visit to learn everything about the Mike Tech Show. I have jam-packed show, lots of things I want to talk about, some consulting stories, and then 5 really good voicemails, feedback on some of the topics that have come up over the past shows, some great responses, and a great In the Trenches story from Kate that we will get to, a client with a Windows 8 and kind of a interesting issue. Before we get started, you know I love Instant House Call for remote support. There is a feature that can help you out when you're connected to a client, and you can gain a deeper understanding by using the built-in chat to learn about the needs of the customer and real-time communicate with your customer on what's going on, what you're going to do, what the problem is, have them type it in, and you can instantly chat back and forth. It's built-in within Instant House Call. And of course, you can get all this and the auto repair, which is fabulous for repairing a system remotely. It's a great new built-in feature. You can get all this for free for 15 days by clicking on the Instant House Call ad on the left-hand side of my website. Click on that link, go to Instant House Call, fill out the form, and use the promo code Mike Tech Show, and you'll get free 15 days. Give it a try. The first problem, this has been a nagging problem for over a week, where I was remoting into a client's machine who was complaining about the double click option, or at least his inability to click only when he was in QuickBooks and Outlook. But if he went anywhere else, the mouse worked fine. I said, you know what? Sounds like you might need a new mouse. Got a new mouse. Same problem. Maybe there's an infection or something stopping this from happening. So I ran everything. I ran CombiFix. I ran all the cleaning tools. He's running Malwarebytes Pro. I ran Malwarebytes. Nothing. These programs show no infection at all. No junk. So now I'm at a loss. So I said, I need to come out there and actually see what you're talking about. And yesterday, late afternoon, I was out at the location and I'm sitting in front of the machine, and darn if he wasn't right. Now it's interesting, when I was remoting in, I could not duplicate the problem. But when I was logged in locally, sitting in front of the machine, he was absolutely right. I create another profile for another user, because there's actually three users that share the machine, and I needed to set up this new user anyway, and I set it up. We go into the same programs, no problem. Everything's working great. I go back to his profile, and I'm thinking, maybe I just got to create a new profile. And then it dawned on me, what are the mouse settings set at? I go to Control Panel, I open up mouse, and it was at the max for double click for fast. I make that half. I put it right in the middle instead of to the far end for fast. Solve the problem. I couldn't believe it. It was a mouse setting in Control Panel that he doesn't remember. He has no idea. You know, he would never go in there to make the change. So don't know how it made, how that change came about. But once I corrected it, the problem went away. Everything's working. Very happy. And then, of course, making the trip out there, made sure to do other things, cleaned a couple other computers where someone was saying, hey, while you're here, you know, my system's running a little slow. Can you take a look? And this is a retainer client that I haven't been on site for a couple months. So it was nice to be on site because I managed their server remotely and all their workstations with no trouble at all, and there's very few complaints. So this annoying complaint from the one user, it's great to be able to solve that. And something silly, something easy, but nice that I was able to figure out what was going on. Last night, I receive a computer that was dropped off during the day, an XP laptop. They were complaining about unbelievable, just unbelievable problems. Say that the system's got to be infected, and then the last resort, the keyboard and trackpad stopped working. Wow. I thought, oh my. So maybe there's a hardware problem here, because when I booted up, I picked safe mode. Now, interesting that the keyboard worked during boot up that allowed me to hit the F8 key, but I couldn't log in. I pick safe mode with networking. I'm trying to hit control alt delete. I'm moving the touchpad. The mouse isn't moving. I'm thinking to myself, we got a hardware problem here. So I go get an external USB keyboard and mouse, plug them into the two USB ports. You got to wait a few minutes. When you plug something new in like that, a keyboard or mouse, you got to give the operating system a chance to kind of load its internal driver and get it working. So you have to have a little patience when you hook up a new mouse and keyboard. Hook them up, waited, everything came in, and I log right in. And I see, yes, they are definitely infected. I'm in safe mode. I plug in my USB stick with CombiFix, and I run CombiFix. Answer all the questions on the external keyboard. And it finds a ton of things. So there's like a page of all kinds of infections, files, directories. It removes it all. We do a reboot. I wait for the report. Guess what? Keyboard, trackpad, everything working perfectly. I run JRT. They have four antivirus programs installed. We're going to talk about antivirus today. That's going to come up. Some interesting things. I remove all those antiviruses and just leave them with one. And, of course, put Malwarebytes Pro on, do all my other cleaning. System is like brand new. It is running perfectly. Keyboard, trackpad. I got to admit, I never thought the infections would completely disable the keyboard and the trackpad. Because usually these infections want you to go somewhere. So you got to have the ability to type in order to give your credit card or that information. So I was kind of surprised that the infection totally eliminated the use of the keyboard. Isn't that against what they're trying to accomplish? Nice to get it all fixed and cleaned up. And my client's going to be stopping by early tomorrow and picking it up. Another great story. It is my fourth laptop during the week. I'm working all day, helping clients, and at night, I'm cleaning and working on laptops that are being dropped off during the day for me, work on them, and then have them picked up the next day or that night. They'll swing by, pick it up. You would think I have a storefront here as I operate out of my home office with the traffic coming in and out of people bringing me equipment. But it's nice because when someone calls me or texts me and they got a problem, and I'm like, I'm tied up. I'm so busy during the day. I said, you get that laptop to me, and if you're able to pick it up, I'll clean it. I'll fix it. So they'll drop it off where my wife or my one of my sons will take the laptop. They'll leave it at my desk, and I clean it up when I get home. Couple products that I must give credit to, and a story to warn you about a product. You know I use Shadow Protect all the time for backups, and especially Shadow Protect Desktop for mission-critical desktops. I have some attorneys where they have 6 mission-critical desktops. They don't have a server. And I have, 2 years ago, I put Shadow Protect Desktop and the Seagate 1 terabyte external drive. 2 of those drives has failed, and it's right under 2 years old. And these are the portable Seagate 1 terabyte drives. I have another client, interesting, they're an attorney also, a Seagate drive, same model, failed. 3 of them. I've been using almost all the time the Western Digital 1 terabyte portable, and I love it, and I use that all the time. And I think at the time when I was ordering those Seagates, either the price was just way too high for the Western Digital, or they weren't in stock and I couldn't get a hold of them. Well, let me tell you, I just replaced those bad drives right now with the Western Digital 1 terabyte portable. I am never buying those Seagate portable drives ever again. And I wanted to let you know, having that many failures, that's not good. That's just not happening. Now, the Western Digital, I got no problem. I've had none fail, knock wood, and I have a lot of them out there. A lot of them. Almost every server or every desktop that I'm recommending a backup solution, along comes this Western Digital drive. Now, another product that I have been installing a lot of, and now I only have 1 spare left, and I must have installed 5 of these over the last couple weeks. It's a very inexpensive dual display. When you have a business client that wants to add a second monitor and they don't have the budget for a big expensive graphics card, and you know what? If they're not gaming and they don't need, you know, they're not doing CAD, they just need it for spreadsheets or websites and they want a nice, inexpensive card, I have the one, it's got 1 gig of DDR3 memory. It's the NVIDIA GeForce 8400GS. And there's a reason I like this. This card, it's only $31. And you can use my Amazon link and I'll get credit for it. And that's amazon.micnation.net. I'm going to have a link in the show notes for this. $31. And it comes with the low profile adapters where you want to put it in one of those low profile, small footprint machines, and you have to buy a specialty card. This card can go in to a full desktop or the low profile. They give you the little brackets to adjust. It's perfect. Drivers that come with it, they're the real nice NVIDIA drivers that will do the auto updates. This is a great low-end card to give you dual display. It has VGA, DVI, and HDMI. It's everything you need. All right, let's start with all those voicemails. Here's the first one.
Like in a recent show, you asked for a recommendation for antivirus for a server. My recommendation is the ABG Antivirus Business Edition 2013. I saw recently where there's an ABG Antivirus 2014, but I think it is just the workstation product. I don't think there is a server version, nor is there the what's called the ABG Admin Console, which is a very nice part of the whole package. So what caused me to make a change, because I had Microsoft Security Essentials on all of the workstations and nothing on the server, was I got hit by a virus which renamed all of the folders. It hid all of the folders on the shared folders, and it created an executable by the name of every folder on the shared folders. So anytime anybody clicked on a folder on the server, the shared folders, they infected their computer. Fortunately, I always set up users as standard users. Nobody is an administrator. So I was able to clean things up without too much difficulty. But it made me realize that I need something better. I need something on the server for one thing, although I don't think that would have made a big difference in this case. But the main thing I need is something that allows me to centrally manage all the antivirus. So I'd had some experience with Symantec's product quite a while ago. Some people have recommended Trend to me. I have previous experience with ABG. I went to a class recently for configure and manage a router. And there are these red routers, Fire something. I forget the brand. I'm involved with another kind of a router, and so there wasn't enough there to make me want to switch. But the fact that, they were using AVG for antivirus work. So it came with the router, or I think it was an add-on that you could get with the router. But they had switched from, interestingly, Trend to AVG. Got AVG, installed it on the server, installed it on the workstations, and installed the AVG admin console on the file server, which has a database. It's a SQL database. I think it's a SQL database, which keeps track of everything. Which computers have antivirus? The last time they checked in, the last time they were updated, the results of their previous virus scans. Using the admin console, you can initiate a scan, you can initiate an update, you can do all kinds of things. So I installed that and on the server, but I also installed that on a workstation, so the person other than me who checks up on things can look at that thing daily or whatever and check on the status of the viruses on all the workstations and the servers in one place. And it's reasonably priced, as I recall. If you buy 2 years, you get the second year for like half the price. Not free, definitely not free, but relatively good price. And I will probably stick with that unless somebody shows me something better.
Don, thank you very much for that. And I'll have a link to the AVG Antivirus Business Edition 2013. I abandoned AVG a few versions ago when it just started to be so bloated. I used to love AVG. It was my go-to free antivirus until they got so bloated, I moved to Microsoft Security Essentials, which we will be talking about in a little bit, because a lot of you have sent me links to the same article, canning Microsoft Security Essentials. So we're going to get into that discussion. But for a server, I'm looking for the best ones. And so far we have ESET, Sophos. I have to look at that. I recommended Sophos after a very big bake-off competition where in a lab environment for a very large client a couple years ago, I did a test of Sophos versus McAfee versus Trend versus Symantec, and Sophos just kicked their butt. There was just no second place. Does Sophos sell a single server license? I don't know. I have to look into that. We know ESET does. So remember, we're in search of the perfect, inexpensive, single server license that we can recommend for a server. So Don, thank you for that recommendation. Don followed up with this voicemail, some great utility. Wait to hear this for Outlook.
Mike, somebody in a recent podcast wanted to prevent, if you have IMAP, you get a separate PST file for each of your IMAP accounts, but you still have the default outlook.pst file, which isn't used by your IMAP accounts. It is used, by the way, in my experience, for the default location for calendar and contacts. I don't know if you can have calendar and contacts and tasks and notes if you go that far with Outlook. So there's a reason to have that local stuff if you're not using an Exchange server, which obviously would be the best thing to use, but we're not there. So there's a lot of stuff in the default folder that you probably don't want to see. I'm going to try to open it up here and take a look at it. Well, I've got Outlook 2013, so a lot of that stuff isn't, here we go. Yeah, the RSS feeds and the suggested contacts, a lot of stuff. Maybe you've got no use for that. Maybe you're not doing, why would you use Outlook if you're not using the calendar and contacts? But the sent items, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you don't have any use for. There's a tool that you can use to hide folders. You can delete them if you want to, but I found it probably a smarter thing to do to just hide them so they don't show up. And the tool is called, all capital letters, MFCMAPI. I'm looking at the web page here, and I'll send you links to it. But they talk about the fact that this is a tool for experts. So it's not something you're going to turn over and let a regular user use, because you're really getting, it's kind of like the registry for your Outlook files. But with it, you can hide folders. They're still there, but they're hidden, so they don't take up space over there in the left column in Outlook. Found it to be exactly what I needed for whatever environment I needed it for, whenever that was. It's been a while, I can't remember. But I didn't have any trouble looking it up. I just did a Google search on how to hide folders in Outlook, and it was up there near the top. But I'll send links to you for it.
Don, thank you very much. The two links are hide, move, or delete an Outlook folder via MFC Mappy. That's the utility. Also, there's the March 2013 second release of MFC Mappy. This is awesome. They are advanced utilities. They are not for the meek. You can really mess some things up with this MFC Mappy. So be very careful. You have been warned. Let's get on to the next voicemail.
Hello, Mike. My name is Bill in Indianapolis. I was calling in reference to your last episode of the Mike Tech Show. You were mentioning a guy that had accessibility issues with using a computer. And I wanted to give you a call and recommend Sonar, a project by a guy named Jonathan Nado. They discussed it in depth on Geeksters. I believe it was episode 87, maybe 78. It was the most recent one over on the PodNuts Network. So I just wanted to leave you a message and let you know about that. It's the Sonar is it's got all kinds of things for eye tracking, as well as for blind computer users, as well as hearing impaired and all kinds of disabilities. It's a Linux distribution. It's made for accessibility, and I just wanted to give more attention to it. And I also wanted to say thanks so much for doing the Mike Tech Show. I've been listening to it for a long time now, and I really appreciate it. Keep up the good work. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for that, Bill. I really appreciate it. And I will pass that on, and any kind of accessibility, usability tools and utilities, boy, send them my way so I can pass them on and link them for the Mike Tech Show community so we can help users be more productive. Anybody that has any kind of an accessibility issue, we want to help them be able to take advantage and use the computer, take advantage of the features of all the computing capability that's in front of them. So thank you very much. Next voicemail.
Hi, Mike. It's Dan from the actual show. And I just wanted to tell you about a nice little customizer for Windows Server 2008 Revision 2. Basically, what this program does is allows you to integrate, tweak, customize, remove features, enable or disable features unattended. You can either make it a bootable USB or DVD, and you can turn server into workstation with this particular program. Generally, what it is, it's developed by the Rockers team to customize Windows Server 2008 R2 and turn it into workstation. You can add wallpapers, icons, themes, integrate updates, drivers, language packs, etc. Now, I use this myself to deploy servers and things like that. This is one of my favorite tools. They also have a version for Windows 7. You can customize Windows 7 The website is 2kr2.rt7lite.com. I just wanted to go ahead and pass that along to you and the team over at Mike Tech Show. Like I said, the other website for RT7 Lite is www.rt7lite.com, and that's also for the Windows 7 configuration tool. I really love this program because I can make my own versions and configurations of Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008. I am not sure if it works on the new Server 2012 or 2011, whichever is out right now. But like I said, I would go ahead and check this out for Server 2008. All right, have a great day, and thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dan, for taking the time to record that, and I will have those links in the show notes. Thank you very much. Final voicemail, and we got a story from the trenches and a question from Kate.
Hi, Mike. It's Katester, Kate Eels, talking to you from Kelowna up here in British Columbia, Canada. I wanted to tell you about a really weird problem I encountered last weekend. I have a customer who has a reasonably new Windows 8 laptop, which he set up himself, and I was out there during the week to help his wife with her computer. While I was out there, we set up an account, a second account on the laptop for his wife. She was thrashing a little bit with Windows 8, so I installed Classic Shell. Then I did all the stuff that I did, and I left. That was like Thursday. Saturday morning at 7:59, my telephone rang because the guy had done something, and then he could not get to his email, and it was a big honking emergency. Well, usually what that is someone has just hidden the tile, and there's lots of ways to bring that tile back. So I used instant house call to remote in, and I'm thinking this is going to be a 5-minute thing. I'm going to find the app and all apps. I'm going to tell it to put the tile back. I'm going to drag the tile over to where it wants to be, and you know, I'm going to bill them for half an hour and I'm done. Well, that just didn't work. It was as if the mail app, you know, I mean the Metro or Modern app, wasn't there. Could not figure out what to do. So set up a time, drove all the way out there, get out there, and honest to John, you know, what he has done is he's used Classic Shell to display the apps rather than the programs, okay, so the native apps, and what he did was click on mail and drag it to the Windows 8 desktop because he wanted to have a shortcut to that app on the Windows 7 desktop. Now, there's lots of ways you can accomplish stuff like that, but that isn't any of them. And when you do that by from Classic Shell dragging an app to the desktop, It totally breaks the app. It was just nowhere, absolutely nowhere. So I go back to the other user account, and it's there, and her mail is coming in fine. So I'm confused now. I go back to the broken account. I go to Windows Store. I say, well, I'll just re-download this thing, and it'll be great. But before I do, I need to make a backup of his email because, of course, he hasn't bothered to make a backup of his email, or it wouldn't have involved calling me at 7:59 on a Saturday morning. So I go to Fabs on my external hard drive, and I tell Fabs to back up this profile. I clear all the boxes, and I look for mail, and Fabs can't find mail either. Now, what I should have done is go back to the account that was working and see if it could find it there, but I didn't because we're running out of time. So I kind of had to locate where that mail would be, and there was actually quite a lot of it. I sort of brute force made a backup of it without Fabs. And then I went to the Windows Store, and all the Windows Store would tell me was that I already owned the app, which, by the way, also includes Calendar and People and something else, Messenger, I guess. So it wouldn't let me install it. And then I go back to the user account, and it wouldn't let me uninstall it because it didn't think it was there. Interesting problem. What I ended up doing was going to the user account where the mail was working properly, verifying that she didn't really care anything about her mail or calendar or contacts. I uninstalled the mail app from that account and then went to the Windows Store, and darned if it still didn't think that that app was installed. So now I'm really confused. Eventually, it dawned on me that I just needed to clean something out. So I took a shot in the dark and ran CCleaner, rebooted the computer, went back to the store, reinstalled the app. Her mail came back. His mail came back. All their contacts came back. She wasn't using a calendar. He wasn't using a calendar, but presumably that would have come back. And I am really confused about a couple of things. Number one, I don't know how I cleared that case of trouble. I think what I learned from this is, ain't it great to be lucky? You know, CCleaner fixed it. Number two, why? I've reached out to Fab's Auto Backup for Tech for forums and asked if this was expected behavior or just part of the whole trouble thing that I was having. So I don't know, because I didn't get around to doing that until just now. And I don't have any idea why you can drag something from Classic Shell onto the Windows 8 desktop and break the app. I'd be interested to hear if anybody else has encountered it. And if you're anybody else and you haven't encountered it and you're installing Classic Shell for your customers, you might want to warn them, because you know, they can break something pretty seriously. And if there isn't a second user account on there to completely uninstall it, have a nice day. Anyway, thanks, Mike. Looking forward to your comments and any comments from users. Appreciate the good work you do. Thanks.
Kate, thank you very much for taking the time to put that voicemail together. I have a couple thoughts. But they're not going to help you. So we need some help from everybody. Have you ran into any difficulties like this with Classic Shell? I'd be curious, are there forums at the Classic Shell site that may lead to some feedback here? Kate, I definitely want your follow-up on anything from the Fabs forums. If I have control of the laptop, of the machine, when they're buying it, I will not let my clients, and I know we can't control this, especially if we inherit a customer, I will not let my clients use Windows Live Mail or any Microsoft default mail product that comes with the operating system. I won't allow that. I want my clients either using Thunderbird or Outlook. I know that's very selfish of me, but there are two email clients that I can manage and have a fighting chance of helping them. So if they don't want to spend any money, I convince them to use Thunderbird and get them into that. That's sort of, I know that doesn't answer your problem, and that should, you shouldn't have had happen what happened. So it's kind of weird that sometimes maybe it is better to be lucky. And I've had those days where I've been in the data center, something happened, whenever we get through a problem, and I was like, wow, man, you know, sometimes it is good to be lucky. Interesting that they drag something from the Classic Shell menu and they break a Metro app. That's very interesting. And that's some good knowledge to be armed with as we go forward recommending that. I don't know what the workaround is. We got to instruct people to just maybe leave the Classic menu alone. Hey, it's here to kind of bring you back to start menu, but don't mess with it. Would like your feedback on this. What do you think about Kate's story from the trenches here? And let me know, and I'll share it with Kate, and I'll share it with all of you on the next show. I have a couple emails that I want to get to. I have a large stack, but we're going to have to wait for most of that to a future show. And I do have some music that I want to get to for tonight. So let me get through some of these emails. This is from Michael, and it's in reference to the last show. And he says, "Hi, Mike." And this is, by the way, the person from Melbourne who has the friend that has the accessibility issues. "Just finished listening to show 476 and just wanted to say thank you to Kate from Canada for suggesting Camera Mouse, which might be of use for my friend who has the MMD, the myotonic muscular dystrophy, and Tourette's. You read my email on the previous show, 475, where I asked for advice on what I can do to help him control his laptop. Thanks again for your show." And Mick, hey, thank you. And again, in tonight's show, we had a great voicemail earlier in the show with a Linux distribution that he can also try for his friend. Thank you for all this great feedback for a Mike Tech Show listener in need of help like that. Thank you. This is from Scott. Now, this is about my feed, and a big thank you to Wish I Know in the chat, a friend of mine. His name is Ken, and Ken was over my house on Friday, and we were working on some client issues, but we also worked on my feed issue, and he solved it. We had to uninstall a plugin, and it corrected the problem. And he also put together a 14 by 1400 artwork by just taking my Facebook picture and then taking the banner. But he took the time to do it and emailed it to me Friday night, and I was able to include it in the feed. We fixed the picture for iTunes, and we fixed the main feed for the website. And he sent me a picture of it on iTunes. Scott's here, and Scott said, "Hey, you're back." And he sent me a picture of his iPhone with my feed from iTunes with the new artwork. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And for all of you who've been experienced the problem with the feed, thank you for your patience. It's fixed. I want to ask your patience again for the slight audio imperfections and problems over the last couple months. I will put into effect, if it's not tomorrow, it's going to be the following Friday, the FireWire mixer will be put back into production here on the show, and we are going to correct all of the audio issues. Finally catching up on some things. This is from David. David sent a link, and as a matter of fact, I'm only crediting David, but many of you sent me the How to Geek link that states, "Goodbye, Microsoft Security Essentials. Microsoft now recommends you use a third-party antivirus." It is a sad article for all of us who are Microsoft Security Essentials fans. I like the product. I've been using it, recommending it. We talk a lot about antivirus. I want a program that's not going to be intrusive, that's low cost or free. I still don't mind Microsoft Security Essentials because you know what? They're not viruses out there. You know what's more important than an antivirus? Having Malwarebytes Pro. Having a good, strong Malwarebytes program, I think, is better than the antivirus software that's out there. And all of the pain and suffering that comes from all of these bloated antivirus programs. So even with this strong article against Microsoft Security Essentials, I'm still in the camp of Security Essentials, Malwarebytes Pro, and Woot. Add it to all your browsers as the perfect layered protection against all of the bad infections. Talk me out of it. That's my position. Convince me that that's not the best solution. Turn me around. I'll change my opinion. Let me have it. Okay? And I will look at this. Everybody's making a very good case, I know, against Microsoft Security Essentials. But I still don't have the perfect replacement for it. And until I do, I'm still going to use it. This was from Michael Lehman, who also wanted my opinion on Microsoft Security Essentials. Should we dump it? Well, that's where I stand. I'm still there. I'm still supporting it. But I got to admit, my position is weakening. I'm at the cliff. I need some help to get pushed over. Okay? But you got to come at me with a program that's lean, mean, inexpensive, and it's not going to suck the life out of my computer that I can recommend to people. If you buy anything using Amazon.com and go into Amazon.com, if you have an account, you buy things, or if you know someone in your family, maybe a friend, a coworker, someone uses Amazon and you know they prolifically buy from Amazon, use my link. Give them my link. Share that. Use it. Abuse it. It's Amazon.MikeNation.net. Your price always is the same, but by using my link, a commission comes back and helps support the show, and it's a great way to show your support, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. It really, really helps. I haven't played music for the last few weeks, but I've come into possession of the new Pearl Jam CD that's not going to be released for a week. I figured, let me share a song with you. Swallowed Whole. It's new Pearl Jam. Give a listen, then I'll be back to wrap up.
I can feel the dawn, I can feel the earth, I can feel the living all around, round, 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 all around, round, round, round. I could choose a path, I could choose a word, I can start the healing, bring it now, 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 bring it now, now, now. Whisper songs inside the wind, breathing in for
That is New Pearl Jam from the CD that'll be released on the 15th of October, titled Lightning Bolt. And the song is titled Swallowed Whole. And I'll have a link on Amazon where you can pre-buy and purchase that CD. Looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to the concert. They're going to be in Philadelphia on the 21st and 22nd. And I already got my tickets for Monday night, the 21st. And I'll be going there with my oldest son, so I'm looking forward to that. I have another link for the show here before I wrap up. The link is Carrie Holzman's YouTube link on building the computer for my son, Tyler. He even speeds it up where it's the same build as my computer, which some of the parts. So the video's sped up a little bit for doing some of the mundane things that you're used to doing. But there's an extra special ending to this video. He videotapes, he adds to the video him carrying the system to the FedEx store where it's boxed. I continue, when we receive it, I film the unboxing of the computer, taking it out, give a little tour to the computer, everything shipped perfectly. Then we cut to actually firing it up for the first time. Great video, and look for that in the show notes. I will have it there, and I want to thank Carrie for doing such a great job with building that computer for my son Tyler. He is very happy, and he just loves it and is abusing it. So thank you very, very much. That's it for tonight's show. Hope you had a great time. Hope you got something out of it. Send me your feedback. And don't forget, use my affiliate links. Don't forget to click on the link for the sponsor for Instant House Call and give that a shot. That's it. I'll talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.